At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
You're listening to the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast, where when you can't be in the outdoors, we bring it to you. Welcome back to another episode of the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast. My name is Walt. His name is Chase, and each week we come to you on the radio waves with one simple goal, and that is to inspire you to get outside and enjoy the great outdoors. Maybe that's working a little harder to get into the woods. Maybe that's trying something new like bass fishing or something. Every week we come to you with content, with ideas and guests, hoping that that motivates you to get outside. I am glad to say that I am back on the phone now with Chase for the second week in a row. I feel like we should have some like music or some kind of audio effect, Chase, because this is two in a row. We've been kind of inconsistent with our drops and our time and whatnot. I know that, guys, and I apologize. We had a lot going on there, but this should be the last one for quite some time that should be delayed. We got some really fun stuff lined up for the remaining summer months, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But, dude, Chase, I mean, here we are. A couple months from deer season, how prepared do you feel?
Not as prepared as I'd like to be, but I say that, and what generally ends up happening is I do a lot of in-season scouting to begin with, so I don't really feel like I'm that far behind. Maybe it is that I know there's a couple of certain bucks or something out there that I might be interested in pursuing during the season, but you've got a couple of month wait before that happens anyways. Pattern shifts, things change, and then you're out doing in-season scouting. So I'm not as prepared, I think, as I'd like to be at this point, just because of things that have been going on. But I still have, according to you, about 70 days to get on it. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, man, we're going to take a deeper dive into that, and I'm kind of looking forward to diving into what we have left to do. I've got kind of a mindset I'm going to share with you guys on how to plan your remaining summer months that I think might help people kind of get in the right mindset, because I tell you, it's quickly approaching, and before we get on the air, I had only just then realized how close. But before we do, I just want to say thanks to some of the people who make this show possible. First and foremost, we've got to thank our Patreon members. And boy, do we have a list of new Patreon members we've got to announce. Here in the past 2 weeks, we have had a serious like flurry of new subscribers, and we're glad to have each and every one of you. I'm proud to say that every one of the four people we're about to announce have come from the state of Florida. Florida is representing. We've got Ben Lewis, Michael Wallace, I'm sorry, Lance Bonsick, I hope I'm not messing your last name up, I apologize, and Jonathan Garcia. Gentlemen, thank you for signing up, and one of the ways we're going to say thank you for that is with our summer lineup. We've got several Florida guests. I know that's something that everybody likes to hear is Florida tactics, and we're going to touch on that in a little bit, but I've got hats that are going out to some of y'all, stickers that are going out to some of y'all. I know I'm a little bit behind on my hat order. I haven't heard from the guy yet, but I know I got a quote coming here shortly, and we'll get those out to you as quickly as possible. And if you're listening to this and you're wondering, what is Patreon? Patreon is a crowdfunding source that allows us to do more. I've said this every week for weeks on end now. Chase and I are always going to do this podcast, But what Patreon does is it allows us to do more of what we're already doing. So if you want to see us go on trips and document that, if you want to see us do live in-person podcasts, that's what this money goes towards. We don't make any profit off this podcast. It just allows us to do more. And we have a variety of ways of saying thank you. First, we have a Marco Polo group, which is a video chat app that you can go and join depending on your tier. It's the Real Spenders tier. You can sign up. We put you into that Marco Polo group, and we have guys that share a wealth of knowledge, all variety walks of life. All kinds of awesome tactics are shared there. It's a carefully curated community of like-minded people that just are going to help you do more. In addition to that, we do quarterly giveaways, and we're going to delay this quarter giveaway one more week, and I've got a good reason for that. But at 4 times a year, we give away a bunch of gear for free just for signing up. And in addition to that, for the first time ever, we're going to host a Patreon hunt. And I don't know about you, Chase, but this might be the highlight of my deer season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am. Ever since we started talking about that Patreon hunt, I've been fired up. I always want to come up to your neck of the woods that time of year anyways. Things are popping off that time of year. And it seems like that's kind of where the direction's headed anyways, somewhere maybe around January time frame. So I couldn't be more excited at this point to be able to get to meet a lot of our Patreon members and share a deer camp with them.
I mean, yeah, dude, it's going to be awesome. We need your help. There's a post in Patreon. So if you're listening to this and you're a Patreon member and you haven't voted yet, we've got 39 Patreon members and we've got 10 votes. So what we need is everybody else to go in there and pick between December and January. And we're going to do our best to accommodate everybody. But we're going to host a Patreon hunt up on the coast. Everybody's welcome to come up and hunt. And we're going to do a scouting series that builds up to that point where we break down that public land series with Brett Mashburn, both from an aerial standpoint. Then he and I are going to go scout it on the ground. We're going to put out trail cameras. Craig Kroom is going to partner up with us as well, and he's got an arsenal of trail cameras. I mean, we're throwing all kinds of resources at that. I have rumors that some of our sponsors are trying to clear their schedule and make it if they can. So that's the beginning of show season, so they may not be able to. But we are working to make this a big event. And nonetheless, regardless of who comes, if you're a Patreon member, no matter what your tier is, you're welcome to come to the hunt, hang out with us. It's going to be for a weekend, it looks like. And it's going to be a rip-roaring good time, because every time that we have sat down with a couple of the Patreon members, we've just laughed our butts off. And I can't imagine if we get a group of a huge group of these guys together, that it's not going to be just an absolute blast.
Yeah, yeah, there's no doubt about it. Every time I've met quite a few of our Patreon members just through travels or maybe needing help with something with my bow or whatever, great group of guys. I think it's going to be an awesome time. And maybe we can even get Chuck to come down from PA for this hunt. Who knows?
I'm telling you. I mean, he's not doing anything in January. I mean, to hear him tell it, it's, you know, 6 feet of snow and you know, the power grid's failing. I mean, it's just it's a vacation for him to come down here.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He'd probably be wearing shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, he probably would. So, guys, stay tuned for that. Go vote. We'd love to have your input over there about when, and we'll start lining this up as quickly as possible, because we're going to reserve some campsites, and we're going to try and announce a period of time as quickly as possible to get ahead of this, so that we can either get campsites or big Airbnb or whatever. We'll figure it out one way or another. Now, with that said, we've got companies that we partner with as well that help us do more. One of those is Spartan Forge. And next week, you guys are going to hear from Bill Thompson himself about the Spartan Forge app. This thing is going to rock your socks. I'm not going to say any more because I will ramble forever. That's all I'm going to say about Spartan Forge, because we're going to dedicate an entire episode to him next week, and I cannot wait. You guys don't want to miss that episode. In addition to Spartan Forge, Tethered has been with us dang near since day one. I am proud to say that I was one of the first people to work with Greg and call him my friend. Greg, Ernie, or the whole gang, they've been an amazing family. The Tethered Nation is a family. I could not be happier to have their support, and we're going to have all kinds of gear videos highlighting their stuff coming out in the coming weeks to get you ready for deer season, and I hope you are prepared. Now, with that, Chase, what do we say we go ahead and tell them why we're delaying the Patreon giveaway?
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'm sure our Patreon members are going to be maybe a little excited for this. I'm pretty sure they're going to be really excited for this, and it'll be worth putting off what we're actually going to get them for the next quarter giveaway.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. So this is an opportunity for everybody to either, you know, we talked about in the intro, do more, try something new. This could be one of those opportunities. You could also say that this is an excellent way to get some brownie points, because what we've done is we have partnered with Such as Vacation Rentals. Now, you'll recall, if you're a longtime listener of the show, we've partnered with them before to give away cabin stays. Such as is a beautiful little mountain town up in North Georgia, and I happen to know the owner. She's my mom. And she has brought on a cabin that is specifically catering towards trout fishermen. It is on the Toccoa River. It is called River Bright Treehouse, and it is a sweet, sweet little place. It's got a outdoor cook shack. It's right on the Toccoa River. You walk down the stairs, you can fish, bring it up, cook it, and have a good time. And she said, hey, what do you think about giving away a weekend stay? And that's what we're going to do. And this is going to be the easiest giveaway that we have ever done. All you have to do to be entered is find Such as Vacation Rentals, like Such as Vacation Rentals on Facebook, come back, comment on Facebook when I announce this episode that you've liked it and you can't wait to stay at River Bright, and you'll be entered for the giveaway. That's literally all you have to do. We're just trying to get you out there, get you some brownie points, because let's face it, man, you're going to need them come deer season. When we're done with you, you're going to be so hyped that you're going to burn every brownie point you've ever cashed, and this is just another one that you can put in the bank. So for free, two-night stay is going to be a great time. I can't wait to share this giveaway.
Yeah, I can't either. When you approached me about it, I was like, wow, somebody's going to get an awesome a prize. Hopefully one day I can actually get up there and stay at one of those cabins as well.
Yeah. I mean, we need to go up there. I think we've talked about doing a turkey hunting trip up there. So maybe what we have to do is go up there, rent a cabin, do a collaboration. We'll do some fishing and some turkey hunting or something this spring. But just to give it in perspective, if you were to do the two-night stay, it's the average rate is about $137 a night. So you're getting a $300-something package comped for free. All you're going to have to do is, again, make this real easy. You need to find Such as Vacation Rentals, SUCHES, on Facebook, like their page, come back to the show announcement with the giveaway, and say entered, liked, did it, something like that. I will put those names into a random draw, and we'll give it away. So you cannot find an easier way to win over your significant other and your kids right before deer season.
Yeah. Yep. So
this is going to be a good time, but we're talking deer prep, man. I'm really excited about this. The season is rapidly approaching. In fact, when we started this podcast episode, we realized we have in Georgia precisely 60 days from the time in which we recorded this episode, and in Florida somewhere about 67 for Chase's zone, even sooner if you're in the southern zone like Mark Burton. He's going to be hunting in like 2 weeks. So summer prep, man, I am not doing anything right now. I'm going to be honest with you. I have been focusing on my kid, but I've also been focusing really hard on getting this boat up and running because, Chase, I really think I stumbled on some areas both in Florida and in Georgia that water access is going to take people off of, like, remove people from the competition. I found places last year that I didn't see a single person the entirety of the season on entire tracts of land. And then there are other parts of these properties that are only accessible via water. And I can only imagine if the walk-in areas are completely left alone, that those float-in areas, they've got to have a couple big studs on it, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about finding unique ways, it seems like, on public land to – have different ways to access. I mean, you got your e-bikes, and now you've decided to step up your Parker McDonald game of using water access to get to some of these areas. So, I mean, heck, that's part of summer prep. You're doing stuff that's going to get you ready for the season.
You know, that's a good perspective. You know, maybe I need to give myself credit because I am preparing for the upcoming season, just in a non-traditional way. It's funny you mentioned that about the e-bike thing because, you know, and everybody else knows that the first time I used an e-bike, I was just like completely gung-ho sold. And don't get me wrong, I would still love to have an e-bike if Quiet Cat or somebody, Rambo, if you're listening and you want to send us some e-bikes, I mean, I'm all about it, you know. But it was one of those things where you sit back and you kind of assess your situation. And while there are plenty of places I could put an e-bike to good use, it just seemed like I was finding places that a John boat would work better. And we're going to do a lot of saltwater fishing this upcoming year and probably this fall as well. And so it was one of those things that, you know, once you got it all going, it just seemed like a boat added more to the repertoire. And then once I had a boat and I started scouting, I started realizing I had dropped all these pins on areas I hadn't checked out before. And it's like, oh my God, dude, I think I sent you a text like 2 weeks after buying the boat. It's like, dude, this thing opens up so many opportunities.
Yeah. I remember specifically you telling me, hey man, I'm coming down to get a Ganoo. It was actually in my area.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh? And you had kind of gave me a breakdown of you're going to be able to use it for fishing, scouting, hunting, and it opened up all these doors for you. And I was like, yeah, man, that's a great idea. It's an affordable option for sure. Didn't break the bank. And you also have your kayak as a fallback as well.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that absolutely. I mean, it's one of those situations where this was a win-win-win situation. I mean, this is – You couldn't ask for a better situation to play out with regard to the accessories that are on the Ganoo. I could put the trolling motor on the kayak and get to a lot of these places. So it's not like, you know, this is a one-shop, you know, deal here. There's a lot of upside to this. And Craig Kroom sent me a lot of pins last year. I was like, hey, dude, these areas are only water access only. And I was like, that's cool. Maybe I'll use the kayak. But the moment you start thinking about the kayak in the deep south, on any body of water, there's some really big gators. And some of these places he was sending me, there are some really, really big gators. And so this is just going to kind of change the game. I know that's said all the time, but you and I are slowly finding ways to get the most out of our properties around us. And it's kind of been cool to see the evolution, dude.
Oh, yeah. I think each year we kind of grow a little bit more. Definitely for you. Especially in Florida, not having the experience that I have or the years. And I think that you are trying to add stuff to your repertoire, make things better, just so you can be more successful in the woods. And I think that's what it takes.
I agree. And I think always being able to revisit things is important because realistically, some of the areas I'm talking about are areas that I scouted before and simply wrote off. And so if, you know, here I am, you know, I was talking in the Marco Polo group, driving down the road the other day, I'm looking at pieces of public that I see deer on the side of the road right at daylight and right at dark every day, which means they're moving in the timber well before then. And I realized that these areas that once were too short, the trees were too short to ground hunt, now they're fair game because they've grown up enough that you've got 4.5-5 feet of clearance underneath, and those deer are still using that thicket, and you can't put a tree stand in it. And if you're willing to huff it back in there and find those deer trails, I bet you any amount of money I can find a deer trail with rubs running down it, and there's going to be deer bedding in there. And so I think one of the things that I pride myself on is I'm always willing to go back to things that didn't work before and see if there's new ways to go about it, i.e. the Ganoo, or if something has changed and now an opportunity is available to me that wasn't previously. And you're kind of, some of these WMAs that in the past I have publicly on this podcast that I've written off, they might actually be really, really good for me this upcoming year. And I'm stinking excited about it.
Yeah, as you should be. It's going to open up more opportunities. I know last year you kind of sold out to Georgia quite a bit, but I think with adding this Ganoo and the water access game, I think that you're going to have more opportunities to hunt because you're going to be closer to home. And you'll be able to probably get out in the woods a little bit more than you did last year.
Yeah, I think so, and I think also by adding the more than I did last year thing really stands out to me because I got a kid on the way, or not on the way. God, I got to quit saying that. I've got a kid.
yep.
But you know, I used to sell out to Georgia all day. Well, it might be one of those things where I can sell out for the morning. I got to come back and relieve my wife, and I may not be wanting to make that drive back up to Georgia. But if I've got some of these places that are closer to the house, that I can get away from people. There's good deer sign that I can throw 2 hours at a hunt, and especially ground hunting because there's no setup time for that. Now the opportunity window has grown, so it's going to be interesting, man. I don't know what's going to come of it. Excuse me. It's going to be interesting, man. I don't know what's going to come out of it, but I think in the end it's going to be an exciting adventure. And as always, I will have the camera with me in hand as I document the whole process.
Yeah. I think that you're. If anything, you may learn a lot this season by doing the water access route and mm-hmm. changing things up, and it may set you up for seasons to come. So it may not be like the best ever this year, but it may let you learn a lot of new things and realize, okay, this is what the deer are doing here. You can get cameras back there, get a whole season's worth of intel. This year, and like we've always mentioned before, in Florida, generally it takes 2-3, sometimes even 4 years to get things figured out. So this just might be the beginning of something that really sets you up for years to come.
That's a really good point. I hadn't really considered it in that regard, much like I kind of sold out last year and added those areas to my list that this one might. Yeah, that's a really good point. So I'm excited, man. And you know, here's the deal. The more I add spots up here that late season become reliable, the more we're going to have success later in the year. I mean, if I can get on deer consistently via water access in January and February, your season's either done or it's not popping up there like it is down here.
No. Generally, it's not. So that may open up more opportunities for me to get up there, hunt with you, create some content for everybody. Yeah. And just extend the season, because I think that's kind of what we all like anyways. Nobody ever really wants deer season to end.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you're going kind of towards the end of the season here in this area, I mean, it's not as fun. So to be able to go to somewhere where maybe the deer are rutting or there's a lot more activity going on, I think that would be a good change.
I agree, man, for sure. So We've chatted a lot about me, man. Kind of like what's going on in your realm. I know you called me the other day and you were stupid excited. You're like, man, I'm putting out the first trail camera of the year, and I immediately felt guilty. But dude, I'm excited for you. What have you gotten any good photos yet?
I didn't put out cell cams. So
Okay.
I didn't put out any cell cams. I just put out some regular cams. If more than anything, it was just like, hey, get out there, put some cameras out in some traditional areas. Where I can go back and check them maybe in a couple of weeks to when I had a couple of hours of time, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to go put some trail cameras out. And I found like this area last year that was a water hole that hadn't been in the past. So I went and checked it. And of course, all the rain that we've gotten, Tropical Storm Elsa came through. Of course, mm-hmm. it was full. And there was a lot of activity and sign around that water hole. So I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to put a camera here, leave it there for a few weeks, see if anything's moving through that area. I also put a camera in a funnel area from last year that I found where they were going back and forth to these ag fields. So I'm kind of looking forward to what I see on there. And my plan is... at least for the private areas, I'm going to go out, maybe start making some James Stovall mock scrapes to see if I can get some stuff enticed to be able to get on camera. And then I'm probably going to start hitting my public area probably in the next couple of weeks. Brandon Ogden, who's been on the show, he's slated to come up here, I think, like the first week of August. So him and I are going to hit that hard, get trail cameras out there, hopefully start to get some intel. There's definitely some areas I would like to check out that I didn't get to check out last season. Maybe put some cameras there. So I can foresee a lot of camera work or putting out a lot of cameras here shortly, just to maybe kind of maybe get something in velvet or maybe get an idea of, hey, there's a lot of does in this area. Any little thing that may help me during the season, or I'm like, okay, maybe I want to try this area out early season, or maybe there's so many does in this area. Maybe I want to give this area a shot during the rut. There's a lot of things I got to learn on that piece of public. A quota hunt that my buddy got, we'll probably hit that up here at some point, just to get a camera or two out there. I've never ran cameras at this particular piece of public before, so I think that'll be kind of cool. Maybe get some intel that'll help us, because you know, with those quota hunts, I mean, they're three-day long hunts, so you don't have a lot of time to get things done.
No.
And any little advantage or edge you can get camera-wise or just even scouting, we now that we have bikes, we'll be able to access it well before time, get out there, check out a lot of these areas, maybe find some, because we never have hunted it during the rut either, so maybe kind of pre-rutish or whatever, but never necessarily like during the rut, so maybe just figuring stuff out on that quota hunt area. I think that's going to be fun. There's several areas that we scouted last time that we didn't get to hunt, so maybe hit those areas up again and get a couple of cameras working out there. There, as far as I kind of discussed earlier, is I like a lot of in-season scouting more than I necessarily like summer scouting, basically because down here you're dealing with ticks and chiggers and snakes, and yeah. It's like 100 degrees out, humid, so I don't do like a ton of trouncing through the woods per se, but I will probably within the next month be getting a lot of boots on the ground, trying to figure things out. And I've also been doing aerial scouting, like aerial scouting of these areas. I mean, a lot of scouting you can do from the comfort of your home this time of year.
Right.
So I've been doing aerial scouting, putting some pins in places where that I think look good that I'll be able to check out. And I've also got plenty of time to aerial scout the area in Missouri that I'm going to. So I've been aerial scouting for that quite a bit, getting things set up for that trip. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I like getting the pictures. I like putting out trail cameras this time of year. I also do kind of like what we mentioned Andy Thompson kind of does, is I'll do a lot of driving during the summer.
Right.
Like peak hours when I think deer will be out on the move, and I'll just go out and glass. I enjoy glassing and just driving through areas, just saying, I think there's deer in these areas, and kind of getting verifications like, oh, I saw quite a few deer on the roads in this area, or crossing roads, or in this field, or whatever. I think that if anything, if you've got time in the evening times or whatever, is just get in your vehicle, go for a drive, whatever, 20, 30 minute drive, go check things out. It's raining a bunch this time of year. If anything, you can go scout the roads. You can go see where there's a ton of fresh tracks, stuff like that. So that's kind of where my summer scouting is right now, and where it will kind of progress before the season gets here in 60-something days now. For us, obviously South Florida people, their summer scouting is pretty much over. I mean, literally in a couple of weeks, they'll be hunting.
Yeah, at least their preseason scouting. And I think it's funny because I think in Florida there's almost a real significant advantage to doing all of your scouting in the season, or at least the majority.
Right.
The majority of your scouting in the season through the like the tail end of the season, because you know, after we talked to Brett, man, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to start trying to find these doe groups and figure out when they're dropping fawns, because the rut is so weird here. It never dawned on me that the best way to know when the rut is isn't necessarily to be in the woods, but to go in there, find those doe groups, and figure out when those fawns drop, because you can backdate them, and if those does are still alive, now you can start targeting specific areas, and that's a really brilliant trick that he taught everybody.
Yeah. I've kind of have been doing that the last couple of years, is figuring out doe groups, and even when I'm out driving, like, you'll see fawns with does. I mean, they'll be out, you're like, okay, that's a small fawn. Obviously, that mm-hmm. was – I mean, if they're spotted still, I mean, generally, from what I've heard, they lose their spots within 3 or 4 months of being born. But, I mean, these fawns are tiny.
Right.
And plenty of spots. They don't look like they're fading, nothing. So you're like, okay, let me backtrack maybe 7.5, 8 months from here and go, okay, obviously, and if you're seeing a ton that size, then you're like, okay, the rut's really popping off around this time.
No, I definitely think that's going to be something that I'm going to do. I think coming up, one of the things I'm going to do is start trying to leave those cameras through turkey season, because I even had a buck chasing a doe during turkey season, if y'all can believe that. I just want to start targeting it because I have a feeling, I got a sneaky suspicion that the rut in my area specifically, that you know what that I'm talking about, I think the rut here is occurring when everyone else is burnt out and not in the woods, because I've been scouting that time of year, walking around and don't see trucks and don't see people, and there's a lot of fresh rut sign. And if I can kind of hone in on those areas, I can hunt elsewhere when everybody else gets tired of this area, start to really key in on these areas around me, having keyed in on the doe groups, having keyed in on when those fawns are dropping. It just kind of feels like there's a real like measurable success that could be had there. Again, factoring in the boat access, some of these areas are much better suited to be accessed via boat. So I'm really excited about it, frankly. And I think that the possibility that you and I can do some late season content on the regular and have success doing it, I think is like right around the corner.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully in these water areas or whatever, I don't know what they look like year round. I mean, maybe it changes or whatnot, and there's flooding or what, and you can find that where, hey, like funnels for yep. Deer and their movement, and like, hey, they may be bedded up in here, but they've got to move out to feed, things like that. So I think if you can get in there and hit it hard, you, Brett, and whoever else goes up there, that I think you might be surprised at some of the stuff you find, and
yeah.
It might be even easier to figure out than some of the monotonous stuff that we're hunting, the big pine flats and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think it's also one of those things that each year you build on little things, you find little things that stand out to you, and you marinate on them all year, and then you look back and it all starts to make sense when you get those photos. And I'm excited because I found some areas that were just brutal to get into, not fun. And if I shoot something, it's going to have to be something worth shooting, because to get it out of there is going to be a nightmare. But I found feed trees and I sent you photos, and the ground was completely scraped back in a 20-30 foot circle where they had just like eliminated everything that had hit that ground. And there were deer paths coming in and out of there. And so, this is such a fun game that we get to play each and every year. It never stops. I don't ever feel like, every time I feel like I'm confident in an area, I find a new way to challenge a different area or an existing area. And it's going to be really rewarding when we're able to bring those stories to people on the podcast and in video.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned something that I forgot to mention is going out and checking your oak trees and things like that. I mean, yep. As I was driving through the woods the other night, I just was looking. I was like, oh, that tree is going to have acorns this year. So there's plenty of simple things that you can do. And I think checking out persimmons. I mean, a lot of South Florida people, Central Florida, or heck, even in Georgia, you found persimmon trees that were bearing fruit. So just going through and checking the food sources for when I was out the other day putting out trail cameras, I noticed that there were grapes, wild grapes on the ground.
Man.
Yeah, they were already dropping and turning.
That's early.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were dropping already. They were still green. Some of them had kind of turned or whatever.
Wow.
But at least in this area, they were already dropping on the ground. And they're pretty much gone by the time season starts. But I think you can maybe put your cameras in those areas to kind of figure out, okay, what am I dealing with in here?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, inventory. It might be brief, but they're not going far. I think it's going to be interesting, man. I feel like you and I are starting to really get a feel for our areas. By no means am I predicting that we kill a bunch of By no means am I predicting I'm going to kill a bunch of big deer, because we know you're going to kill a bunch of big deer. But, you know, I think it's going to be one of those things that as time rolls on, we're gonna have to start expanding our range and maybe doing some public land challenges where we put in for a good quota somewhere and just hit it blind to test our skills. You know, there's that one WMA I'm not gonna publicly name, but having a boat now makes that WMA that I hyped up really hard and my buddy gave me all that intel on, that might have to be where we like strike off one day and see if we can't make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely some areas kind of late season. And I guess last year you caught the COVID, so we couldn't go do the hunt that we wanted to go do. And there's potential in some of those areas, and there is water access for some of those areas. And yeah, it's later in the season, and I think that I really just need to make a plan and come up there. And I would at least like to take a look at it and put eyes on it, boots on the ground, before I just come and strike out and go, all right, I'm going to hunt here for 3 days with just doing some aerial scouting, especially in Florida.
Yeah. It's not like Missouri where you can find the pinch point on the map and then get out there.
Yeah, the big food sources, things like that.
Yeah, you know what? I'd completely forgotten that you and I were supposed to strike off and hit that last year. And you're right, I got COVID, and that completely changed everything because that dang near killed the rest of my year. But we'll get out there soon. Maybe not this year, but because we're doing the Patreon hunt. But maybe the Patreon hunt next year bounces to that other spot. Who knows? I mean, I think based on what I saw, it's worthwhile. But I kind of want to share with everybody one of the things that I do because I think it's real easy for the summer to get past us. And this is going to sound kind of cheesy, guys, but hear me out. I really encourage people, especially new deer hunters or aspiring deer hunters, anybody who's busy in their off season, come up with a schedule of things you want to do. It's real easy in the springtime or immediately after the season to say, oh, I'm going to do all these different things. And it's also real easy for the summer months to grind you down, chip away at your spirit, and you spend more time inside, or maybe you're hanging out the pool a little bit more, whatever. I think it's really important that you don't lose track of how close we are. We're sitting at 2 months away. If you're a weekend warrior, that means you have 8 Saturdays, assuming you only get Saturdays, to do what you need to do to get ready for this season. So I encourage people, this is something that I do, largely because, you know, this podcast takes up a lot of time. There's a lot of prep on Chase and I's part. And so it's real important for me to have a schedule of things that I'm trying to do with dates on them and kind of milestones. I know Brett does something kind of similar on his end with note taking and stuff like that, and areas he wants to hit. And he goes back and he looks back at his notes and he makes sure he does, you know, what he needs to this year to build on what he thought the year previous. And so with 8 Saturdays left until deer season in Georgia, 9 in Florida, I encourage you guys to kind of come up with a list of what you have left and figure out how you're going to get it done, because there's no better feeling than going into deer season having knocked off all the things that you want to do. It takes your self-confidence through the roof. I'm speaking from experience. As of last year, Chase has talked about on the podcast, I grinded really hard in July and August, and come September, I felt like I had a plan. I was confident in my sets. I had a lot of success early on when traditionally I've struggled. And I just kind of wanted to put that out there for you guys. Come up with a plan, come up with the must do things that you have left to knock off your list, and come up with a way to crank them out, because season's going to be here, guys, real quick. I mean, it's coming.
Oh, yeah. And I think one other thing that, I mean, I kind of have is just a network of people, other hunters that can kind of hold you accountable too.
Right. Yeah.
When you're like, hey man, I thought you said you were going to get out and go scouting this week, or I thought you said you were going to go put out cameras this week.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I think that kind of motivates you more. I've got a good network of guys. I've got you, I've got my buddy Brandon, Brett's added to the mix now. We're kind of going back and forth, and he's like, hey man, I thought you were, are you going to get out and scout? Are you going to get out and do this? And I think having that also kind of makes you get out there more and makes you want to go scout. And because we all want, at the end of the day, we all want to be successful this deer season.
Right.
And the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. And I think a lot of people just get to where it's, okay, it's season, I hunt during the season, that's how I do it. And I know some people have family obligations, and summertime's
sure
stressful, people going on vacations, kids and stuff like that. But if you use just even a little bit of that time to either go scout, go drive around a little bit, look at maps, tinker with your gear, stuff like that during the summer. Cause I mean, that's part of summer prep too, is making sure your gear's all ready. I've been out shooting my bow, making sure everything's dialed in, just every little thing that you can do during the summer that, you won't have to worry about as much, during the season, and, you can enjoy the hunt more.
Yeah. Well, and that list might be simply shoot your bow 2 times a week.
I mean,
the list can be yours, whatever it is that you need to do, whatever you can do. You know, if you're like Brandon, dude, I mean, he hunts up by you do. I mean, that's like, what, a 5-hour drive for him one way?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he can't strike off every weekend and go scouting. And so, you know, for him, it might be painting his sticks and getting his trail camera arsenal ready so that when he goes up there, he can make the most of it, or shooting his bow 3 times a week. I mean, whatever it is that you need to do, I'm not saying you need to aspire for the stars, but there's things you can do to get ready for the year. And I tell you what, if you want a group that motivates you, like Chase says, join Patreon, because that group will hold you accountable. When I tell people I'm going out to do something and I don't, Herb is right there to poke fun at me and encourage me at the same time. So, you know, it's a good group of guys. I'm plugging it for obvious reasons. It's a great community to help you guys. But I just kind of wanted to share that with you, because it's going to be here quick. And I know no matter how much prep you do, you're always going to be like, dang, I wish I could have done X. But do what you can within your means. And, yeah, man, season's coming. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old sign, like, winter's coming. All those winter's coming memes. Well, hunting season's coming, whether you're ready or not.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, guys. Well, listen, this episode is the last, like I said before, we jump into a Florida season. And what I mean by that is we're going to start bringing on some guys to talk about Florida hunting. If you're not from Florida, I guarantee you there will be things they say that apply to where you are. But the niche of Florida, it takes just an extra set of skill set in the South, we believe, even more so in the state of Florida. And we've lined up some guests who get it done in a state that is known for anything but big deer, mature deer, especially on public land. And so we're going to bring those guys to you. We hope you enjoy that content. Stay tuned for more videos from us on YouTube. If you haven't already, go like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd love to have you over there. We're going to be bringing you all kinds of content. Chase is going to have the camera on him a lot more this year. I'm hopefully not going to have a camera that craps the bed whenever I pull the trigger. And it's going to be a good time either which way. But most importantly, no matter what you do, get outside and enjoy the great outdoors.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.